Christ. But oh, how important. And then the latter part of Romans 6:23. Oh, that's good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good news. That's the type of good news we need to be sharing with other folks. That's what our lives are supposed to be about. So we must ask ourselves, I think, the same question that Jesus put to the disciples in that great sermon that we entitled the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 47, what do ye more than others? If you love them that love you, hey, what do you more than others? If you salute them that salute you, what do you more than others? And so he's trying to force a comparison. He wants his disciples to think. I think we need to think along those lines also. What do ye more than others? When we look around, we notice that denominationalists at times are doing so much more to promote their false doctrines than what we do to promote the pure doctrine of Jesus the Christ. And knowing that, I just wonder if Jesus were standing here, if he might say to me, if he might say to you, if he might say to us as a congregation, what do ye more than others? I just wonder. I wonder about those things. And I penitently pray that God will forgive me for opportunities that I have missed and opportunities that I haven't taken hold of. And maybe this will help. So many times we begin making excuses, but what it would really help if we would develop the same attitude that Paul expressed, that Paul displayed, that he talked about there in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 13. Remember what he said? I can. He didn't say, I can't. That wasn't in Paul's vocabulary. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The strength is there. The strength is available. Christ will indeed strengthen us to do the things that he would have us to do. And so we need to be serious about all of this. We need to seek to develop that I can do it attitude. And I really believe that we can. I really believe many of you have that kind of attitude. I think you've demonstrated it in other things that you've been about. I couldn't sew a stitch, but some of you ladies excel in that, and you make things that then benefit the lives of others. You have an I can do it attitude regarding that. Maybe if I'd take a class over at one of those places, I could learn how to do that, but I don't know if I've got that much time. I'm getting kind of old, and I have so many other things I need to get done for the Lord. But at any rate, you get the point. We need to develop that attitude. And once we've developed that I can do it attitude, oh, we need to be cautious. Sometimes we preachers, we get people all excited. You need to do this. You need to do that. And we go off in all directions at once, just like the posse that went off in all directions at once. The bank in that little old western town had been robbed, and they call out a posse, and instead of following the trail that the outlaws went on, the posse went off in all directions at once, and they didn't catch anybody. We need to be a bit more systematic. We need that I can do attitude. But we need to be a bit more systematic, and we need to ask the question and have some answers. How do I get started? I think it's a shame that sometimes we preachers browbeat people, but then we never give them any concept of how they can go about doing some of those things. And so I thought it'd be good to spend our time, or this portion of it, getting into some of those things. First thing I would suggest, and this is something all of us ought to do all the time, compile a list of persons whose souls are in jeopardy. I think probably all of us can think about some of those, but let's have some examples, because sometimes we need a prod in a certain direction. And one of the things I said, weak and unfaithful members of the church. When I first came here, Brother Crabtree went in the back and got me one of those directories that had all those picture cards on it. And you know, the host of those folks aren't around anymore. The first dinner that we had here, congregational pitch-in dinner, there was a couple here that talked to me quite a bit that day. Oh, we used to live in Lebanon. We don't live there anymore. We've been married, and they mentioned how long. It hadn't been all that many years. I think it's second marriage for both of them. And guess what, folks? They have never been back in this building since that day. Weak, unfaithful members. All of us probably can name some of them. Put them on a list. Their souls are in jeopardy. We who are strong are supposed to bear with those who are weak. We are to seek to strengthen them. That's another one of our responsibilities. Aren't their souls precious? They are as precious to God as the day they first obeyed the gospel. So we need to be concerned about them. I cringed one particular day on an occasion. We were mentioning and talking about a particular person who was weak, who would fall away. And at that particular place, one of the elders, one-on-one conversation we were having, just said, well, he's hidden, ought to be so weak. Well, that may be true. But we who are strong are supposed to bear with those who are weak. We're to seek to buoy them up. We're to seek to strengthen them. That's what we're to be about. So put those folks on that list that you're compiling. Another suggestion, personal friends and relatives. Do you know any friends? Do you know any relatives who are marching steadily onward toward the grave? I had two friends die this past week. Funeral of one is this afternoon. I have been asked to word prayer. Brother Jody Apple's coming in to speak at the funeral, and they want me to be up there to lead prayer and what have you. Burial's going to be on the family farm way over in Smith County, so I don't know if I'll get back this evening. But I've got to be there for that family. The second fella up in southern Illinois, great fella, one who meant a lot to me, and I will be speaking at his funeral on Friday in Guthrie, Kentucky. They're bringing his body there, and he'll be buried next to his wife. Thing about both of those friends, they were faithful Christians. And so even though we sorrow over losing them, there's an element of joy thinking about, hey, Vince, who had cancer in his one eye and they had to remove an eye and all of that, and then who ended up in an assisted living place for a while, he can see clearly now if I understand things right. And the other fellow from over in Lebanon who had bone cancer and who had a tremendous growth here somewhere in that hip area where it was so far gone when they detected it that they could not do any chemo or anything else. And so he didn't last very long. Well, he's a faithful Christian. So there is an element of joy regarding them, but do you have friends who've never obeyed the gospel that you're even remotely concerned about their eternal welfare? Put them on your list. Do you have relatives who are in a lost and dying condition? I mentioned an aunt before, and of course it became a topic we couldn't even approach anymore. The wounds were too open, and it's like rubbing an open sore to even talk with her about those things. So, but maybe you have some that you're concerned about. If so, put them on your list as well. And then mates of church members who've not yet obeyed the gospel. Evansville, Indiana, my childhood friend, Philip Austin, his father was not a member of the church. Philip's mother was faithful. She was a soul winner. She's the one I mentioned to you that brought people to the church building to tell the preacher, here's another one for you to baptize. But for years, Philip's dad would defend the church. If anybody at work said a bad word or anything about the Lord's church, he would defend the church. But he hadn't obeyed the gospel. You know what? People didn't give up on him. They didn't give up praying for Wayne Austin. But they kept on praying, and anytime someone had an opportunity, they'd speak to him. And he sat about five rows back in that big auditorium on the aisle, always there. And it surprised everybody the day he stepped out in the aisle and came down and said he was ready to be baptized. Don't give up on people. Put those folks on your list, mates of church members who have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ. Their souls are important, and it is important to that church member that their mate obey the gospel of Jesus the Christ. It ought to be important to all of us. But now you've got a list of names, and you could think of others to put on that list. How do I use my list of names? Well, we've already identified one particular area. Pray. Pray earnestly, pray fervently, pray daily for that particular person. Are all of those persons on your list? Sometimes we forget to pray, don't we? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? We need to be a praying people. God is open and He hears our prayers. But we need to pray daily for every person on that list, praying that their hearts will be open, praying that we will have opportunities to speak, praying that something can be done, something can be said that will provoke them and move them to study, to believe, and to obey that glorious gospel of Jesus the Christ. Something else you can do, send them notes to encourage them. We have some, that one elder I used to talk about, he used to refer to the ones that just came for worship as 11 o'clockers. And as I told you, he got in the pulpit one day and said, I am looking forward to the day, oh God, when we don't need you 11 o'clockers. But I don't think that was a proper thing to say. What you need to do is send those folks notes at times. You may want to have special occasions, like it's going to be a birthday, or maybe it's their anniversary, or maybe something else, and on that day you send them a card anyway, and then they say, well, I really wish you were attending Bible classes and worship. I'm concerned about your soul. Call them on the telephone at times. Some people don't like to be bothered. And some of us, I wish I never had a phone in the house at times. I've got a cell phone, and it's one of those track phones where they add so many minutes every month. I'm now up to over 1,900 minutes on my cell phone because I only use it usually to call Joan when we're in a store. So I can say, where are you here in Walmart? So that's basically why it's used. But these folks on your list, they need to know that you really genuinely care about them. How are they going to know if you ever tell them? Call them. Let them know how concerned. Let them know that you're praying for them. I think one of the great encouragements to those of us who preach is at times for a member to say, you know, I've really been praying for you in this series, or I've really been praying for you in that. Really, that's just like saying sick 'em to a dog, you know. And so we appreciate that. And other people, they need to know you're praying for them as well. It's just that important. It's something we need to do. Then, at some point in time, you're building a rapport throughout all of this. And then at some point in time, you really need to ask them if they'd be open to studying the Bible with you or with someone else in their home. Because till we get into that one-on-one, opening the Bible, and till we get down to that, sometimes we don't make that much progress. But ask them. And just it may surprise you when they say, well, yes, I've been waiting for years for somebody to come and study the Bible with me because there's some things I don't understand. And they may ask you questions that embarrass you about members of the church. So-and-so's a member over there, but, you know, I see him down at, and they tell you where they see him. And you say, well, I don't know about that, and he'll answer for that. But that doesn't change your situation. You haven't obeyed the gospel yet. So at any rate, there's a way to handle all those kind of things. But what you need in all of this is to radiate genuine care and concern for those lost souls on that list that you have comprised. You've heard it so many times. People don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so be a caring, concerned individual. Care for those people on your list. Well, since we have visitation teams, we're already a leg up. Borrow that statement from that commercial we see during the news. They gave me a leg up. If you ever watched that news and that one car, I don't even remember what the car lot is that all those people go to, but one of the patrons said they gave me a leg up. But we have a leg up. We have visitation teams already in place. How much participation and how much we are involved in doing remains to be a question, but visitation really pays big dividends. You know that, and you know what's been stated. When we go, they come, and all of that. So it is an important thing, but since we have those visitation teams, here are some other persons whom we may be able to share good news, with whom we may be able to share good news, and visitors who came to services. I was going back over You Can March for the Master and At Work for Him and all of that, those books by Stafford and Ira North. And one of the things stated in that booklet, and I think it's forever true, the very week in which someone visits us, they need to receive notes, they need to receive phone calls, they need to receive a personal visit. If they cared enough to come and visit us, we ought to care enough to go and visit them. And it's important for us to do that because we accomplish some things in the course of those visits. We, in the course of those visits, try to determine where they are spiritually. You see, we can make some big mistakes sometimes. We don't know where someone is spiritually. Maybe they're wayward members and they happen to visit. Well, we need to seek to restore them. Maybe they're persons who have very little knowledge about the church, whatever, or about the gospel, or about anything. We need to determine where they are spiritually. That's one of the purposes of that visit. The very week they come, they need to be visited. And think of the impact. If a person visits us, and then the very week that they visit, they receive multiple phone calls, and they receive multiple cards in the mail, and they receive a personal visit from some members here, think of the impact that has on that particular person. And generally, this is for that first-time visit. As time progresses and they visit more often, yes, we continue to call on them. Yes, we continue to encourage them, but in time, we need to set up a home study with them. But at any rate, visitors who come to our services, benevolent contacts. Boy, Brother Burns talked about how many people come. Brother Harold talks about how many boxes of food handed out each week. And that's great. It's great to be known in the community as a group that's willing to give rather than take. But each box that goes out, each person who's bold enough to come here to this building to get help and get a box of groceries, We say, oh, we're so happy to give you this box of groceries, and we want to come and study the Bible with you in your home. Or if you'd like, we can study right here. What time would be best for you? You see, that's where you start nailing it down. But every one of those persons, that's a contact, that's somebody that has a soul, that's somebody that we may be able to study with. And Mike stated before, we have several men here who are capable of studying with someone in their homes. I started to bring a whole stack of those different individualized studies that Owen Albright put out, were on different topics, salvation, the church, unity, and on and on and on. Those one-page studies are great to go into a home, put that sheet of paper out, and you have one and they have one. You go through the scriptures and fill out blanks and answer questions that they have. It keeps you on track rather than going off this direction, then going off this direction, chasing rabbits without ever getting down to a specific systematic study. So it really works well. But benevolent contacts, also advertising contacts, when we go out there and put door hangers out, when we go out and knock on doors, we are making contacts, and some of those people can very well become persons that we can study the Bible with one-on-one. We need to be praying about those particular type of things. We need to be concerned about those type of things. And then another source, families in crisis. Just about every family at times goes through crisis of one type or another. Death comes. Sometimes there's grave illness, and we go and visit there in the hospital. And it may be a member of the church who's on that hospital bed, and there may be multiple kinfolk of theirs who are there, who are concerned, who are not members of the Lord's church. Some of them not going anywhere. In those moments of crisis, oftentimes people are more open at those moments to encouragement. You know, this relative of yours, this mother of yours lying here in the bed right now, you know she's a faithful Christian. Are you a Christian? Would you like to be? Would you like to study? We need to use every possible opportunity to try and reach other folks. There may be other traumas. I know 100 years ago, Madison Church, the men, the old men, fixed and repaired furniture. And on the side of a truck, it said, dealers in faith, hope, and charity. And if somebody was burned out, they were the first ones there in the community. We've got furniture for you. We have a place for you to stay. And we have a Bible study for you to participate in. And it works. It works. When we work, it works. When we go, they come. And all of this, I think, is so important for us to think about and to get ourselves in the mode of thinking, you know, I can be involved. I can be involved in this way. I may not be able to do everything, but I can do this. And so some more things, additional things that can be done. Host a weekly hour of Bible study at your home in your neighborhood. Tell you about my neighbor. Lives catty corner across from me. He and his wife host a neighborhood Bible study every Wednesday evening. The denomination where he goes, they don't have services on Wednesday evening. But this particular denomination, they have this thing down to a science. They have a core group, and they have multiple home Bible studies like this on Wednesday evening going on all over the city of Lebanon. And they have a core group at each one of those locations that invites friends and neighbors. We're going to have just a regular Bible study here at the house on Wednesday evening. I'd like to invite you to come. Nothing, you won't be embarrassed. Just like you'd attend, you can ask any questions you want to. We're going to be studying, in fact, we're starting out in the Gospel of John, John the first chapter. You know, what the leaders of that particular denominational group have found is that for every 100 people who are enrolled in those studies at those homes, they know the percentage of those who will become members of that particular denomination. And so get involved in this enrolling ministry. Have all these different studies in your neighborhoods, and then the church reaps the benefits, because after these people get so familiar and acquainted with all those core group members of that denomination, and they say, well, hey, you need to come be with us on Sunday morning. And out of that 100 that they invite, and the 100 who attend, they know exactly the percentage of those. And so that church is growing by leaps and bounds. You might consider doing something like that. Some of us aren't quite as bold. Some of us are a little more timid. Some of us can't get out, and some of us can't get around. Some of us, our legs are giving out, like, maybe it's going to be taken care of for long for some of us. But at any rate, if you can't do some of those things, maybe you could conduct a mail ministry. And by then, talking about mail and Bible correspondence courses, and grade those same Bible correspondence courses and provide those names of persons who respond and who complete it to the visitation team so that those people can be called on. In this way, you're involved in a very real sense in evangelism. World Bible School has found this works very, very well. They place ads all over the world in various publications advertising their Bible correspondence courses, and in many of the foreign countries, that's the primary sources that people on the ground use to go and contact those people. And baptisms taking place all over the world. Now, you may need a little help from our elders as to how do we get the Bible correspondence program going. Maybe we need to put some ads in some local publications advertising we have these available, or maybe you already have some. But at any rate, this is something that can be done. Also, in your mail ministry, you can write to bereaved families, letting them know of your concern that they have lost someone, and telling them, you know, God, don't give up on God. God really cares about you. And we here at the Neely's Bend Church, we care about you. We should come and let us minister to you. So write to bereaved families. Write to absentee members. You may not be able to go on a visitation team and call on some absent member, but, hey, you can write to them. You can be involved in a mail ministry, and that's very real. And write to new parents. We won't have many of those right here, right now. But if you know of young folks who are having children, personal contacts that you know, write to them. Encourage them. Now that you have a child, you have a responsibility before God. It is your responsibility as a parent to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And guess what? We can help over here at Neely's Bend. You need to provide the right example for your child. As a new parent, you need to provide the right example. You need to be involved with God. If you want your child to know about God, write to those new parents. Write to those who visit us. That's a repeat of some of what we had before. But oh, it's important. So very important. But final words of encouragement, this being the final session. These words, I know sometimes we become discouraged, much like probably the people in England became so discouraged at times with the continual bombings, those bombers from Germany flying over, and the blackout periods and the all of that going on. But these were the words of Winston Churchill. Never give in. Never, never, never give in. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Folks, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Paul stated that in writing to Timothy. Yes, I know Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but still, never, 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 never give in to Satan. Never give up. Never give up on the Lord. Never give up on the church. If God be for us, who can be against us? We need to keep that ever in our minds. It gives us strength. It gives us hope. And I like these words that Paul penned. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. That's what Paul wrote by inspiration. That didn't just come from Paul. That came from an inspired apostle writing as the Spirit gave him inspiration. It demonstrates God wants us to be strong. He wants us to be strong in the power of His might, not trusting in our own strength, but in His. And oh, yes, we need to be on watch. And yes, we need to stand fast. And I think that's what each and every one of you are trying to do. If you weren't trying to stand fast, you wouldn't be here. And so I commend you. I commend this congregation and what we're doing in world evangelism. I think that's tremendous, reading those reports and thinking about those things that take place. I think, though, we need to be concerned about the mission field that begins at our own front door. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for putting up with me during these 16 lessons. And I look forward to what's coming up. Next Sunday, Lord willing, new course of study. Kind of seeking to complement that model that Mike came up with, that be the best you can be. You can't be the best you can be unless you're living for Jesus. And so our first lesson that we're going to be getting into next time is not fully developed yet. Part of it is, but will be live for Jesus. That reminds you of a song, doesn't it? Live for Jesus, oh my brother. Class dismissed.